River to River from Iowa Public Radio News, I'm Ben Kiefer. When my guest this hour, Dean Borg, first started his involvement with Iowa Public Television's Iowa Press in 1971, the microprocessor had just been invented. In that year, gas was 40 cents a gallon, a U.S. postage stamp, 8 cents, the average price of a house, $5,000. The Dow Jones was below 1,000. And Rock'em Sock'em Robots were all the rage, at least among boys my age. As I mentioned, that was also the year that journalist Dean Borg began his involvement with IPTV's then newly created public affairs program, Iowa Press. And he's been a regular host of the show for over 40 years, interviewing every president going back to Jimmy Carter. And he joins me for the hour this hour. Dean Borg, what a pleasure to have you in the studio with us.
Well, Ben, the best thing you said there was the fuel price of commuting back and forth to Des Moines.
Your last broadcast, I understand, of Iowa Press is next week. You will be having Governor Branstad on as your guest. Must be a tremendous amount of mixed emotions for you.
Well, there is. And that program a week from today is the schedule at the State House for the governor's condition of the state message. And then we'll tape an Iowa Press program. The governor's message is live at 10 that next Tuesday morning. And then Iowa Press, the final program that I'll be hosting at 3 o'clock that afternoon, will just stay set up at the State House.
You can join our conversation this hour with your questions for Dean Borg about his long, illustrious career with Iowa Press. Of course, much broader. He's worked as a reporter here on Iowa Public Radio and in various capacities. Join our conversation, 1-866-780-9100, river-to-river at iowapublicradio.org. You can tweet us at IPR Talk or find Iowa Public Radio on Facebook to leave your question or comment. Well, take us back to the early 70s, as I did just briefly there with a few little points there, to the creation of Iowa Press. Set the scene for us, Dean.
Well, the scene is best set. I mean, I can add to those facts of 1971 that you had there, and that was Iowa Public Television that you know now, IPTV, it was not what it was in 1971. Iowa Public Television, or the forerunner of it, was one station. It belonged to, belonged to the Des Moines Public School System. It then was transferred to the state of Iowa and became the nucleus of what is now Iowa Public Television. But it was one transmitter in Des Moines, and it was Channel 11, KDIN. No studios, no equipment other than a mobile truck. So our first program, Ben, was out of Des Moines Tech High School at the corner of Grand and Fleur. Fleur, the street is leading out to the Des Moines airport. And we were in a second-floor classroom in that building. The cables from the television cameras were strung out the open window into a truck parked in the parking lot. And that was our first studio. And from there, the next year, 1972, we went to the Iowa State Fairgrounds. Iowa Public Television still had no facilities of its own other than that mobile truck. And so we went to the Iowa State Fairgrounds, used the facilities there to tape the Iowa Press programs.
Very interesting. Getting a good picture of the early days of Iowa Press with Dean Borg. Join us with your questions, 1-866-780-9100. We had a chance to talk with Iowa Press's creator, Bob Bradsell, and I know you know him well. This is a few comments from Bob Bradsell about how he came up with the idea for Iowa Press.
Well, at the time, there was no comparable format in Iowa, central Iowa, that we were aware of that allowed us to go in-depth into any issue or character. And it just seemed like a good idea to try to do a meet-the-press-like format specifically tailored to Iowa issues. And news. So we thought we'd try it, and we tried it. And we depended very heavily on the Des Moines Register and its personnel. And it proved to be enormously successful. For public television, it drew ratings and which was at the time unheard of. So we went from there and just developed the show. It became a kind of an institution.
Iowa Press creator Bob Bradsell, Dean Borg. So Meet the Press, the inspiration for it, and also you hear from his comment, you know, Iowa Public Television, public TV, was not thought of as a ratings getter, was it?
Well,
until but this one did.
I'll set the stage even further. Public television was a newcomer on the television scene, and the networks, CBS, ABC, and NBC, they had affiliates in Iowa, and that was how people received television programming. Commercial broadcasters did not appreciate this newcomer, public television.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, the Iowa Broadcasters Association and some broadcast owners specifically were openly hostile to this idea of public television, and it was started as an educational facility. That is, in the first names of public television in Iowa were Iowa Educational Broadcasting Network. And broadcasters, when public television wanted to run a movie, in fact, that was protested by commercial broadcasters who owned television stations, because that was the purview, entertainment was the purview of commercial broadcasting, and education television was supposed to stick to education.
Oh, so as long as you had someone behind a lectern or in a classroom, you were fine, but step over that line and the commercial interests protested.
That's right.
Okay, let's listen to a little bit of Bob Bradsell talking about. Now, I understand in 1971, you were on the panel, and in 1972, you became thereabouts. You became the regular host. Let's listen to Iowa Press creator Bob Bradsell talking about why you were picked to be host of Iowa Press.
Well, Dean was part of the panel on the show right from the beginning. He was, I believe, a regular. He certainly was on a lot. And when we started, we used Des Moines Register people to host the show. And while they brought enormous credibility to the subjects at hand, they weren't necessarily television people. And we got to the point where we felt we needed someone who understood the medium and so forth to actually host it. And Dean just seemed to be the right person. He understood the format. He liked to work with us and was very good at what he did and presented very well. One of the most memorable aspects to Dean's talents on the show was his ability to take perhaps a hard-edged news story and approach it, ask the questions in a way that allowed what might have been a fairly adversarial moment with a guest into something that was totally unthreatening for the guest. And he was able to draw out information from guests better than most, I would say.
Iowa Press creator Bob Bradsell there in a recorded response we had recently to it. Now, Dean, how did you find your footing as the host in this newly created program? And speak to that aspect that Bob just mentioned there, because the whole idea of a public affairs program is to draw people out, especially politicians, the hardest lot to draw out there. How did you envision that, or did you step right into that, or was that a role that kind of formed and you felt your way into?
Well, understand, I had commercial broadcasting experience, and I think that's what Bob was referring to, just the familiarity with the medium and reading the clock and things like that and getting on and off and moving a program along. I think that's part of a moderator's responsibility, is to move that program along in its timing so that it doesn't languish in a discussion topic that is I mean, you know, you're a host on River to River, and you know what I'm talking about there, and I think our listeners do too, at moving from topic to topic. So I think that's what he's speaking about, just familiarity with the medium, because I was anchoring at Channel 2 in Cedar Rapids at that time. And so that was familiarity. But well, I didn't really have a problem going into this medium and this Meet the Press format, because I was familiar with it both in radio and television.
Mm-hmm. As I mentioned at the outset, you've interviewed that they were then candidates, many, many politicians, Iowa politicians, also national politicians early on in their careers, every president since Jimmy Carter. Tell us about some of those interviews. Take us back to Jimmy Carter, the 1970s. The dark horse candidate who became president.
Well, that's right. And understand that, you know, many decades ago now, and my memory fades, but I do know that when we had scheduled Jimmy Carter, to me, just like most Iowans felt, here was a person who was an unknown coming into Iowa, and the caucuses didn't have the same prominence at that time with a candidate coming to explore the presidency. Understand that also. But here was a Georgia peanut farmer, as he was labeled, and happened to be governor of Georgia, but that and a quarter at that time would get you a cup of coffee. It wasn't really very noteworthy, but we scheduled Jimmy Carter on the program, and to this day, I believe that appearance, that half-hour appearance with him in some tough direct questioning on Iowa Press, introduced him to the Iowa people and gave him really a jump start, launched him, if you will, on his candidacy.
Mm-hmm. Did you have an inkling then that the climate in the post-Watergate climate in the country was ripe, that they would catapult this unknown Georgia peanut farmer to the White House?
Well, I will say this. I think that I was impressed, as most Iowans must have been, that here was a person who seemed to be very honest, very down-to-earth, and was able to articulate the issues.
Mm-hmm. Dean Borg, my guest, Iowa Public Radio correspondent, but we're marking his retirement as host of Iowa Press. He's been host of that program since about 1972, so we're looking back over 40 years of his work, mainly with politics on this Iowa Press. And join us with your questions or comments, 1-866-780-9100. Another future president that you interviewed was George H.W. Bush, the first President.
Yes.
Bush. This is an interview excerpt of you and George H.W. Bush. He was then running against Ronald Reagan. This is ahead of the 1980 Iowa caucuses.
Could you put a label on the nation right now? Do you see it
moving more to conservative economics, still compassionate? Desiring a strength in foreign policy that they're troubled by. They see us with declining credibility around the world, and I agree with that.
No.
And so I think the issues nationally are about where I am in my own beliefs.
But more so Ronald Reagan? Do you think that Ronald Reagan is the front runner right now?
Yes.
Where you see the country running?
Well, only because I pick up a poll and any of these newspapers that you all represent, and I would say I'd go with whatever it says in April or May. But that's not when the election's going to be.
Okay, there is George H.W. Bush, then candidate, running against Ronald Reagan.
Yes.
In 1980. Of course, Ronald Reagan being the victor in that.
That's right. And Ronald Reagan we had on the program as well. And, of course, he was very familiar with the medium, and he was right at home because he had worked at WHO Des Moines before that time, as you well know.
Mm-hmm. When you have a presidential candidate on, what did you learn about? What did you want to test most of their mettle when you had them on the program with the other panelists as well?
I think, Ben, more what we, with national candidates like that and national personalities, the program's name is Iowa Press, and it just doesn't happen to be a name that we picked out of the air. We try to focus whatever the issue is on its effect on the people who are watching here on Iowa Public Television. We try to bring national issues down to their effect on Iowans.
Mm-hmm. Okay, there's in a sentence the mission of Iowa Press. Let's be joined by David Yepsen, former longtime Des Moines Register political columnist, also longtime Iowa Press guest. He happens to be the new Iowa Press host. He will take the torch from Dean Borg in a few weeks' time, former director of the Paul Simon Public Policy Institute at Southern Illinois University. David Yepsen joins us in our Des Moines studio. Hello again, David.
Good to be back.
Good afternoon, Dave. Hi, Dean.
You've been listening to our conversation, reminiscing here about, so tell us when you got involved with Dean and Iowa Press.
Well, I think it was probably in the late 70s, and Bob Bradsell invited me to come on and be one of the Register people who was rotated in and out of the set. And I want to say it was probably about 1978, because I was at that interview that you just aired that clip of with George Herbert Walker Bush. And so that's probably dates to my era. Mm-hmm. The beginning of my time there.
How did you see the identity, the mission of the show when you were asked to be on it? Dean described a little bit of what he saw there.
To make news. Every reporter out there was looking for a story. And I think the politicians who showed up knew that this was a vehicle to make news, to say something that hadn't been said before, to advance an idea, trial balloon something. And it would get covered. It would get picked up. And not only would the reporters around the table write about it, but Dean would file something on it. You'd have local television stations would be picking up some of these clips. And so it really became a good place for people to talk to the whole state.
And for candidates for the Iowa caucuses, it became a must stop, right, David?
Well, absolutely. It was a place where they could introduce themselves. Dean mentioned Jimmy Carter, but there are a lot of others who, over the years, came on, made initial appearances there, and for the first time, they were really reaching out to key audiences. If you think about the audience, and as the network's footprint grew into more of a statewide thing, the listenership of Iowa Press. Boy, those are pretty sophisticated people. These are political junkies. These are opinion leaders and newsmakers themselves. And so here was an opportunity for a candidate to come out there, introduce himself or herself, take some tough questions, and other political figures could see what were they made of? How did they perform? How did they handle themselves when people like Dave Yepsen and Mike Glover and Jim Flansburgh and John McCormley from Burlington, heavens, were throwing questions at him. Yeah. Dean had a great task out there of refereeing all the big egos around the table and the arguments that we would get in. But that was a lot of the fun of it.
Well, that's right, Dave. And I want to underscore one thing you said, because you often said it, or Mike Glover or others who were in our pre-planning production meeting as we would block out the areas of questionings. And somebody would always say, as we began that discussion, how can we make news here today? And that was, we didn't just want to tread through topics that had already been enunciated, but how are we going to make news here today? Isn't that right, Dave?
And that's well, yeah.
And for someone not in the business listening here, what does it mean to make news? To Dean, or Dave, how would you define that? I mean, it's kind of when you're in the business, you know it when you hear it, but to an outsider, what is making news?
Well, I think it was Eric Severide who said news is what is new and different and out of the ordinary, and it was not the cat that did not get caught in the tree. And so we were looking for how can we advance the story? How can we get something here that hasn't been said before? And political leaders would guests would use that to advance an idea. I mean, they came out there with things to say to advance an idea. Sometimes they wanted to knock down an image problem that they would have. They wanted to introduce themselves to people. And so all those things. Dean makes a good point. We did ask, what's the news here? How are we going to get some news? But we had some wonderful arguments in those pregame sessions about how to get there. And it got kind of vocal at times. Well, that's a dumb question. Why would we waste our time with that?
Onto the preparation. So questions are scripted, and it's the trade-off between the panelists, or is it more spontaneous than I'm characterizing?
Well, you have to go in with a plan, because otherwise you're not going to get in all the topics. And this was a very productive, as Dave said, a very productive discussion that precedes the program, because their ideas are tested with peer judged, in other words. You talk about medical journals being peer reviewed. This is peer review of journalists' evaluation of what might we do to make news out here today.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And so talk a little bit more about the preparation, Dean. So the day that you've gone through every week since the early 1970s, how do you prepare for Iowa Press hosting that program? What are your steps?
Before I answer that question directly, I'll say that we didn't used to have roundtable discussions, but somebody listening in, one of the producers listening in on this pre-production discussion and really argument and maybe some tempers flaring at times as questions were evaluated by peer review, they decided, you know, we ought to have a roundtable discussion sometime and sprinkle that in, not just have a guest, but put journalists around the table and let them listen in and eavesdrop on this. But pre-production, it's a week-long evolution of the program. Guests are selected, who's going to make news, who has something to say, or we want them to say something, yeah. Who is making news in Iowa, and that's how you select a guest. Oftentimes, that guest is not confirmed until very late in the week, and that puts the real pressure on then to get a program together. But then we meet, the reporters meet for a couple of hours before the program, and with this intense discussion that we've already been talking about here, formulate the blocks of questioning, broad subject areas, and then the specific questions. But sometimes, as we say, an audible is called on the air to because news is being made. Dave, remember the time that we messed up on that, and we asked Senator Grassley about running again as the final question, and he said, yeah, I'm running again. Oh, thanks very much, Senator. We're out of time.
We learned not to do that kind of questioning ever again. We'd ask the candidate a question about his or her intentions at the top of the show, not as the exit question.
All right. Well, we're hearing some reminiscing from David Yepsen, a former Des Moines Register political columnist, new host of Iowa Press on Iowa Public Television. Dean Borg, the longtime, now retiring Iowa Public Television, Iowa Press host. He's going to stay with us, and both of these gentlemen into our next half hour. If you would like to join our conversation with your question or comment, you can email us rivertoriver@iowapublicradio.org. Or dial 1-866-780-9100. When we come back, Dave and Dean, I'd like to ask you a little bit about what it's like to interview so many politicians and how you do your best to nail them down so that they have to answer. And we'll talk about that when we come back. Also, the media today, much different than the 1970s when Iowa Press started. The landscape is changing. Fake news is here. I want to ask our guests how we should be dealing with that when we come back. It's River to River from Iowa Public Radio News. And we're back midstream in this edition of River to River from Iowa Public Radio News. I'm Ben Kiefer. This hour, my guest, veteran Iowa journalist Dean Borg, retiring as the regular host of Iowa Press on Iowa Public Television. Also joining us, David Yepsen, formerly of the Des Moines Register, longtime columnist there, former director of the Paul Simon Public Policy Institute at Southern Illinois University, also longtime guest on Iowa Press. He has been named to be the new host on Iowa Press, taking the reins from Dean Borg. Let's go back, because this show has such a long, storied history of talking to politicians. Let's go back and listen to another snippet. This is the first appearance Terry Branstad had on Iowa Press when he was running for lieutenant governor under Robert Ray in 1978.
I'll start the questions with Terry Branstad, and I'll ask all three of the same question. First of all, Mr. Branstad, why are you the best choice for lieutenant governor for the Republicans?
Well, I'm the only candidate for lieutenant governor with a farm background and an active interest in agriculture, and I think we need somebody that understands the problems of agriculture, and I feel I've had a good voting record with agriculture during the years I've been in the legislature. We also need someone who understands business. And with 6 years in the legislature, I've been a member of the Labor and Industrial Relations and Ways and Means Committee all of that time. And I've had an excellent voting record with business as well. And so the theme of our campaign is that I can best represent the need for a healthy agriculture and business climate in the state of Iowa.
Okay, Terry Branstad, in 1978, certainly the voice changing, aging a bit there. Would Branstad have been out of his 20s yet?
Probably. Maybe. Dave, you can help me there. I think he probably, he became later the youngest governor in the nation, and he probably was in his late 20s, early 30s.
Yeah, he would have been in his early 30s.
Yes, mm-hmm. yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So let's go back to this point of the evolution of this show and including the round table, because that's very interesting. And it seems for a politician walking onto this, this is favored if you have three or four heads, questioning one person, Dean, this puts the advantage in the journalist's side of the court, doesn't it?
Well, yes, it does, and because we can play, if you will, just tag team, if you will, because one journalist starts the line of questioning, that gives the other journalist time to listen very intently and to maybe formulate a follow-up question, and then back to the first questioner, and so you can play tag team there. That gives a time to formulate a question that is probably more precise and incisive.
Mm-hmm. Dave, so then as panelists, you're really working as a team. You're not, these are my questions, and these are Dean's questions, and these are Kathy Obradovich's questions. Or is it?
This is where the scripting comes in. You go into that pregame, you brainstorm, as we mentioned, up for a good hour. You rank order the questions, who's going to open with what. The secret to doing those interviews, you've got to do your homework. I mean, Dean had a huge drive over there every week and had a lot of time to think about what he wanted to say. John McCormley driving and flying up from Burlington. I mean, these guys had already a show pretty well laid out in their minds by the time they walked in the door. Mm-hmm. And you assign priorities. And I've always discovered that the simpler the question, the better. Because if you ask a long-winded question, you're giving the respondent a lot of different hooks to hang an answer on.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
So a very simple, pointed question and a follow-up. Why? What does that mean? Simple, clean follow-ups. I'm always reminded, I never try to forget where I come from. Jefferson, Iowa. Small-town Iowa boy. So, you know, Dean is too. People want you to be civil, but they want you to try to get an answer. I try to do that. And if you don't get an answer, then you at least want the viewers to know, well, the person isn't answering the question. And you don't be rude about it. And try to keep the show moving. So mm-hmm. I think the key was always the preparation and the crafting of the wording of the question, and then the structure and making questions simple and pointed.
I think that Dave is right, and I think that the research ahead of time, I always, and I know Dave felt the same way as did other panelists, you want to develop the research so that you're not asking superficial questions that that allow a person just to go off and speak a bunch of rhetoric that doesn't mean very much. You have to be probably not as well informed as the guest, him or herself, but nearly, because that's the way that you develop an incisive follow-up question that says, without really saying the words, well, sir, you didn't really answer my question.
Is that the way you approach it? Because the three of us have interviewed a lot of politicians, and there's always one of the most frequent remarks I get is, how do you not get annoyed with politicians who don't answer your questions? When you ask them once, you ask them twice, maybe even a third time, there's a limit to the number of times you can ask a question. You just have to, draw a line, Dean Borg, and say, and politely say, I guess you didn't answer my question and you don't intend to?
I think that's the without maybe saying it in those words, that's the beauty of the Iowa Press format. It allows for bigger and larger answers than a soundbite. And you can do follow-up questions, and it's readily then apparent. You probably have to, at some point, let it go and let the viewer decide, but the viewer should be pretty well educated and able to tell that person didn't answer the question.
As stated earlier, Iowa Press viewers are, as a rule, political junkies, yes. Public affairs junkies.
And well, I think that Dave said it well, too, that people often comment to me the discussion is civil and respectful, and I always strive to have it that way.
Dave, anything to add to Dean's comments about when to let it go? Because the politician is always veering towards his or her talking points. You are trying to veer towards your agenda, and often they don't overlap.
The show is not a food fight show. It's not the McLaughlin Group. It's if you want a point, argumentative questions, there's plenty of other places for people to go on television and the media today to get that. We're not rude. But you can be pointed. You can be civil. The viewer will understand that the candidate or the politician or the question did not answer the question, and you leave it at that. And you move on. And that, to me, is the way you pace the program. And if the candidate doesn't want to answer, then, you can't get – you don't want to be – you, the reporter, don't want to be the issue. The story is the guest, not the reporters. And so how you conduct yourself is important.
Don't you think, Dave, that that's a reason, too, that some candidates don't want to come on a show like that with an expanded format?
Sure, because they know they're going to get questioned by reporters who know what they're doing. And they also know that the quality of the audience, the people that watch public affairs television like that, these are opinion leaders in communities. These are other political leaders themselves. These are people who go to caucuses. And the candidate has got to make a calculation that, maybe it isn't in my best interest to show up.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that happens a lot of times. They'll wait until the very end until they feel like they absolutely have to. But that's why sometimes we have candidates who just refuse to come on because they make the calculation that not showing up is going to be less painful than showing up and showing that they don't know anything.
Donald Trump will become the first candidate who becomes president who was not on Iowa Press when he's inaugurated in a few days' time. Dean, do you think he made that calculation?
Oh, of course. This wasn't his format. He, throughout his entire campaign, this was not his format. I was not surprised, but neither did Hillary Clinton. Now, this occurred, if you remember, Dave, back in 2008, too, when Hillary was running for the nomination against Barack Obama. She did not elect to come on. Barack Obama was on a couple of times at our invitation, but Hillary Clinton waited until the very last, when it was very apparent in the polls that she was going to have a tight race in Iowa.
Mm. Yeah, she calculated it was worth her time then.
Mm-hmm. One of our listeners, Meg in Ames, has a question. I'd like to have you address, in Meg's words, there's been very little discussion from female journalists. I was disappointed with who they chose to replace Dean. Granted, neither Dean nor David had a say in who would be the next host. I think she's just speaking about the gender issue here, Dave. But, Dean, you do have this is maybe a good opportunity to talk about the wealth of female journalists we have here in Iowa that you've had the pleasure of working with.
Well, many times I have been the only male at the table, and we've had female journalists far outnumbering me, even in a reporter's roundtable, and frequently the other two in that format where we have a guest and the other two reporters other than me have been female. So, but that has evolved, and thankfully so. Back when I remember the commercial days, it was very rare. We had Pauline Frederick at the United Nations on the national basis, but no female journalists in Iowa on television and radio. That's changed, and so much for the better, because the people that we've had on Iowa Press and Iowa journalists, female, are excellent.
Mm-hmm.
Jennifer Jacobs is one of them who has gone on from being on Iowa Press panelist. Now she's with Bloomberg News. But we have Kathy Obradovich now, Kay Henderson, and people from the Associated Press. I could go on, but it's very apparent that we have highly qualified female journalists who are often at the Iowa Press table.
And Dave Yepsen, your career also spans a time when there's been tremendous change and a tremendous number of talented women in journalism now who were excluded in previous generations.
Well, that's right. There are more women on the campaign trail today than there are men. You look at that gaggle of people that follow candidates around, a lot more women than men. And that's all good. I mean, one of the issues we face in Iowa journalism is diversity. And I wish there were more minority journalists that we could bring on the program. We're on the lookout. So that's just a challenge for broadcasters and television people and newspaper people all across the state, and our population is trying to bring more, not just gender, but diversity as well.
David Yepsen is with us, the new host of Iowa Public Television's Iowa Press. Dean Borg with us, host of Iowa Press since 1972, retiring now from that position. Of course, we love to have Dean as our Iowa Public Radio correspondent as well. As we finish up this hour, the final 10 minutes or so here, I wanted to talk about the changes that have occurred in recent years, and also, Dave, the changes that you see in the future, the concerns that you may have as the host of this program. We've seen the news media landscape changing tremendously since the days of when the Iowa Press started. Four channels, three networks, and PBS. Well, PBS even came on later. Audiences splintering in the 1980s into dozens and then hundreds of cable channels. More recently, websites, social media as news sources, catering every conceivable political pigeonhole, if I can say that, so you can stay right in your little comfort zone for politics. Dean, let me ask you first, how does a program like Iowa Press stay relevant when everybody's in their comfortable little place?
Well, I think Iowa Press and Iowa Public Television covers a spectrum of issues in Iowa and a spectrum of subject matter in the various programs that Iowa Public Television offers. So Iowans depend on Iowa Public Television to tie the state, if you will, together in various ways. And this Iowa Press program did it in public affairs. That's why I said earlier that Iowa Press seeks to concentrate on the Iowa aspect of an issue that may be national. Yes, we have Iowa political issues too, and we air those on public television and Iowa Press. That's easier then to concentrate and apply it to an Iowa issue to Iowans, but the challenge is how do you apply a broad national issue to Iowa, and that's why I think Iowa Press has been relevant.
Mm-hmm. Dave, explain the relevancy of Iowa Press going into the future with this splintered media landscape.
Well, that's right. There is, and it's one of the sad things that that has happened to American journalism. You know, we go back in journalism. Newspapers, particularly the yellow journalism era, opinionated journalism, we go through all these years, and now we're back to the future. It's starting to, that way again. It's more opinionated. You've got people tend to watch and consume news from the sources that reinforce their biases. I used to tell my students at SIU, you know, you may be a liberal, but if you are, fine, but watch some Fox News once in a while. And if you're a conservative, watch some MSNBC for a while. Get outside your comfort zone. And I think one of the important things that we do is in this era of fake news, there's nothing really fake about Iowa Press. It's a credible news source. It has credible guests. It has credible reporters. Viewers can see for themselves what gets heard. And frankly, I think it's an opportunity for politicians many times to clear up innuendos or bad things that are being said about them or false things. Time and again, we get a question. I'm glad you asked that, Dave. And so I think that's a role that Iowa Press can play.
And yet, indicators are Hillary Clinton not coming on in 2008 until very late. Hillary Clinton in this election cycle not coming on at all. Donald Trump not coming on Iowa Press at all. We see this everywhere, the politicians bypassing traditional media, Dave.
This is Dean, and that is a trend, as you've identified now. That's a trend and a disturbing trend in campaigning right now. I hope that the circle turns and it gets back to where we have an Iowa Press format as relevant and acceptable and attractive to national candidates. But I think part of that is, and Dave, I would like to have you weigh in on this, part of that is the electorate. And that is some broadcasters and other media outlets don't feel that the electorate will tolerate that in-depth questioning and that in-depth subject matter. And so it goes for ratings. I believe that's true, Dave.
I think politicians today have discovered ways around traditional media and around legacy media. It's fascinating, Donald Trump's use of Twitter. They'll be writing books about that not too far away. It's a whole new communications thing. It ranks up there with FDR and the use of the radio. Or John Kennedy in the use of television. So there's the role of legacy media will have to change too. But you can't make politicians do things that aren't in their interest. And if they don't think it's in their interest to come out and face tough questions, then the voters are going to have to take that into account. We certainly, if a politician doesn't want to be on the show, I don't want them there. Well, because I think we got plenty of other topics.
Have you ever noticed, Dean or Dave, a politician who had to be kind of snared into coming on the show, and it would have been better not to have him on?
Many, many times we have invited. I can't answer about rather not to have them on. I don't think that I ever felt that. But even in this past campaign, we've been talking about presidential candidates, Trump and Clinton, not coming on the Iowa Press program, even leading up to the caucuses. But we had invitations out to congressional candidates this time to come on Iowa Press, and many of them declined. Some of them were on, and we had debates on Iowa Press, but some of the candidates declined to come on. It wasn't in their interests. Mm.
Dave, going forward, what are your biggest concerns having to do with political news coverage in the Iowa Press for the state, for the country?
Well, I think what Dean described at the beginning, trying to explain what's happening in this complicated world and its implications for Iowa. We have a new president who's going to has said a lot of things that he wants to do. He's got a Republican House and Senate. What does it mean for Iowa? What is this trade thing that he's talking about mm-hmm. mean for our state? It's huge. If we can't sell stuff abroad, that has a huge impact on the Iowa economy. So localizing this, I think, is going to be the real challenge for all Iowa journalists. And not all these bad things are going to happen. I remember as a reporter when 1980, when Reagan got elected, Jim Gannon was the editor and sent a bunch of us to Washington to write about all these things that Reagan wanted to do. Well, he talked about them in the campaign, but they didn't come true. You know, the Department of Education is still there. And so I think that's going to be a big challenge for Iowa journalists, is figuring out what this new president and this new Congress is going to do and what the ramifications of that are for Main Street Iowans. I think that's going to be a big challenge.
Dave, I just wanted to also remind you, aside a lighter thing, some interesting, funny things have happened during our live-on-tape programming, too. That is Martin Jischke and the water glass.
Quickly, we don't have much time, but explain that one.
Go ahead, Dave.
Oh, Martin Jischke knocked the water off the table, and throughout the whole show, the water dribbled right into his crotch, and leading us all to note about wearing dark pants. But he was great. We moved on through the show, but that was a classic one of the gaffes that happened on the program.
Dean Borg, as we finish up here, what part of your Iowa Press legacy are you most proud of over 40 years of hosting?
I think of maybe just being able to make the show every day.
That's a task, isn't it? Yeah, every week.
Commuting from eastern Iowa to Des Moines, I have some really terrifying, if you will, white-knuckle stories about driving through snowstorms.
What will you miss most, Dean?
I'll miss the camaraderie and the interchange that we just talked about earlier with the various journalists who, in preparing and discussing the Iowa national political landscape, we trade insights, and I'll miss that.
Mm-hmm. Okay. That doesn't mean you're completely cutting ties with it. You perhaps come back for guest appearances on Iowa Press?
I don't know about Iowa Press, but Iowa Public Television has asked that I come back in the future for special public affairs programming.
Okay. Thank you very much, Dean Borg, host of Iowa Press since 1972. Now retiring, his last show will be next week. He'll have Governor Branstad on. Dave Yepsen is the new Iowa Press host. When do you start, Dave?
January 20th, Inauguration Day.
Well, we wish you all the best in continuing the fine tradition of Iowa Press on IPTV. Dave and Dean Borg, We look forward to hearing from you often in the future, even though you're retiring from Iowa Press. Thank you for the tremendous coverage that you've given us and the interviews all over. We have so many things to pick from. We had to select just a very few, but you have a tremendous treasure chest of wonderful journalistic endeavors.
Thank you for your interest.
Thank you.
River to River is produced by Emily Woodbury, Claire Roth, and Lindsay Moon. We had help from John Pemble in Des Moines today. Of course, Politics Wednesday tomorrow. And our executive producer is Catherine Perkins. River to River is a production of Iowa Public Radio News. I'm Ben Kiefer. Thanks for joining us.